I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How does that happen?
Shrunken heads, you know? Like, I don't know. How do they make heads so small?
Shrunken head was actually a branding thing. That's a regular size head.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's just perspective.
Yeah.
When he's telling it to you, he's holding one head way back here by his chest.
Yeah, it's a forced perspective shot. It's like how they made the Lord of the Rings. Boys here. The internet's number one fence for stolen goods is back with some more of that good stuff. I am your fixer, Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by
Peter. I broke my lock pick set again. Can I get another one?
Yeah, but I'm taking it out of your next sale. Okay. Put it on your tab.
I'm Ethan. I can't stop breaking my lock picks.
I'm the unethical thief, James Miller, and I'm here to steal from the poor and give to the rich.
Okay, good. Yeah. You're the government.
Yeah. You're just an institution, then.
Yeah. So, today's Thief episode was requested by patrons Bottle Bob, or it's either Bobble Bob or Bottle Bob. Anyway, I think it's the first request we've done for him, so hello, sorry it took so long. And supported by David, last name withheld. And if you'd like to join these two, just like Keith Alm and Wooly Booly did, check out our Patreon linked below, or just go to patreon.com/theloreboys and kick us a couple of shekels, dude.
Did someone think to pull up the new patrons?
He just said their names. He just said Wooly Booly and Keith Alm.
Oh, I was so busy.
Just, like, chose two guys at random, just like, yeah, them two.
I was so busy thinking if we did it right. I wasn't listening to see if we did it right. And, yeah. All right, here we are. We're in the same room. Okay, I got it. I'm present.
Perfect. All right, good.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to suggest topics as well, jump into the Discord linked below or on the website, however you want to get there.
Yeah, if you want to join the Patreon, you can learn fun things like why I does can't organ smim.
Yeah.
and my org sim is no. So check out the Patreon bonus content for that.
Pizza or bagels, the new contraceptive. Yep. Only
or
one
what
way to find out.
No one can do for you.
Yeah. Now, Ethan, since you always go on and on about how much you love stealth games and how your baby's middle name, and like boy or girl, is going to be Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, why don't you go off on how many times you've played the Thief games and like how much you love stealth and what you remember from them.
Yeah, okay. You play as a raccoon and you got a big like burlap sack that you carry around in your bag and you're a raccoon, but you specifically have like the little thief mask on and you sneak around. You know the thief mask, the one that covers, it's a black mask, covers just your eyes.
Is this Sly Cooper? What is this?
Yeah, it's the Thief game.
Yeah.
That rings a bell. What is the actual raccoon, though?
And you rob dumpsters, and you break into cupboards with your little thumbs. And you're a big fan of peanut butter in the games, canonically. But it keeps getting you into trouble because you leave little peanut butter raccoon footprints all over the house that you burgled. And I think they end with you getting executed by the state.
Probably, yeah. Okay, good. Pretty close. Like, clearly a ton of experience with the Thief series.
Yeah.
Jibo?
I know they exist. I think we have an episode on them already.
Oh, well, thank God.
Yeah, like, didn't we already cover these?
We have not done Thief.
Oh, we covered, what's the face that's on the mannequin that's in your room? That's...
Oh, it used to be Dishonored. Mask is completely, it was like shitty latex or whatever and got so dry it crumbled to pieces, but that was Dishonored, which a lot of the people who made Thief made Dishonored. They share a lot of the same DNA.
That's okay. That's where I'm getting that feeling from then. But I haven't played any Thieves. I think there's two or three of them. There's four. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Holy we'll get into it. Don't you worry.
All right.
I personally have played all four Thief games, but I've only finished two of them. I finished the second game, which is Thief 2, The Metal Age, and then I also played the reboot from 2014. I've tried to play the first Thief, which is Thief The Dark Project. It's too fucking hard. Like, it is just, like, too janky and way too old PC gamer hard. I've never been able to get through it. And, like, I liked it, but, like, really could never, ever get through it. Even, like, I beat Thief 2 and I checked my Steam time. It took me 27 hours to beat Thief 2. And that was just, like, F5, F9, F5, F9. Like, every time you fuck something up. Because, like, the main character is not good at fighting. And his point, like, his purpose is not to be like, oh, well, you fucked up and you can fight your way out, like a lot of modern stealth games. Like, straight up, a regular, like, off-the-street security guard can just kick the shit out of you if you fuck something up. Like, Garrett is not, he's a lover, not a fighter, straight up.
Wow.
Well, he's a stealer, not a fighter.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, he's a peanut butter covered raccoon, not a fighter. And then, according to Steam, again, I played the third game, Thief Deadly Shadows, for 35 minutes in 2014. So don't worry, I have played all of them. I think I put it in my backlog. And it's just like, you know, you can make like categories on Steam now. Or, yep. I mean, now, of course, you could do it for years. But like, I have a backlog category that is just like games that like, yeah, I'm going to play that. I'm going to play Mutant Year Zero and Absolver, I promise. Like, don't worry about it.
Okay. I believe you. I fully believe you.
Thanks.
I don't think you're in denial.
No. Like, I think that's why we're friends. It's because you let me just talk shit. and then finally, I finished the reboot a few times. Despite the fact that the reboot of Thief from 2014 is not great, it's half decent. We'll get into it later. It was made by Eidos Montreal, kind of when Square Enix was making all their Western developers make more mainstream reboots of a lot of their games. So, like, Deus Ex came out and like those games are good, but like Tomb Raider was kind of off to a rocky start despite the fact that it really stuck the landing with the second and the third. And like Hitman Absolution, a lot of people hate, which I talked about on our Hitman episode. And then Hitman 2 and Hitman 3, like the rebooted reboots, are like fucking god tier stealth games, like if you want them.
So what's going on with kind of that in Montreal then? Like Eidos, I know, went to like a 4-day work week, but Square Enix like sold all of their offices to get into the crypto game or something like that, or to get into blockchain games. Like,
it was like something as equally stupid. Yeah. But like, I have a lot of friends who work at Eidos Montreal, and yeah, 4-day week. And they were purchased by Embracer Group, who are like a gigantic Swedish company that own like 150 developers, but are super hands off.
Okay.
I was talking to somebody else about this a couple days ago where it was just like, no, like it's like Blumhouse, the people who make all those horror movies. Because you can make 1,000 shitty horror movies, but one will be Paranormal Activity, and it'll make $1 billion, and it'll take care of the rest of the company. Right. Embracer Group is like very much just like, make whatever you want, because one of you's going to succeed, and don't worry, everybody still gets a paycheck, because like, and sometimes you get something cool, like Dying Light, and sometimes you get something shit like Elex 2, or like whatever the fuck, right? Like, it's just, they cast a very wide net, and they own Eidos Montreal now. Yeah,
cool, good to know.
IO Interactive, though, the people who make Hitman, are independent as far as I know. They bought themselves back from Square Enix.
Cool.
Squeaks.
Yeah,
from Squeenix.
Yeah,
they sent in a bald man to like steal some files from Sony, so they had something. We got it.
Yeah, it like 2014, like Dishonored and the new Hitman weren't out at this time, so prior to that I could have recommended Thief 2014, but like not really anymore, frankly. There's 1,000 better things you can get for $6 during a Steam sale now, so
okay, so not recommended. This series, trash. Peter O'Donnell.
the original three, I very much support playing the old games if you're into old 90s PC games. 100%.
And by this series trash, he means that's great, because you play as a raccoon. So.
Raccoon.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Rob's eating garbage.
It's a resounding endorsement. Yeah.
So regardless, whether it's the reboot or the pre-boot, Thief takes place in The City, which is the official name for an autonomous city-state somewhere in a vaguely 19th century European town. Like, it's the country the city is bordered by is is never named. The first spoiler image, if you guys want to bring that up and describe it, you'll notice it's very London.
It's a very, very vague industrialized city in the 1800s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Check.
Exactly. So technology-wise, most people still use torches. However, rich people have gas lamps or electric lamps. This plays back into really cool... The old games have, like, fucking incredible stealth mechanics, too. Like, light, sound, all the... And you have a bunch of different gadgets you can use. Electronic lights cannot be shot out with water arrows. So one of your gadgets is just, like, a regular arrow shaft. But yeah. At the tip is a glass crystal that has a little bit of water in it. So you can shoot out torches at range, but you can't do that with electric lamps. You need to find switches to turn them off.
Okay. I feel like the inertia of a ball of water at the end of an arrow shot from a bow would smash a light bulb. I'm just saying light bulbs aren't really known for being like hard to break.
I like even the opposite though. It must be so hard to put out a candle with an arrow.
Like, yeah, it's just like knock it over. It just like rolls off the table, lights the carpet on fire. You're like, clean exit.
Yeah, exactly. And like, what is it? I know, like you describe it as like a pointy arrow tip that has a little bit of water, so I guess it would like break on impact. What?
Yeah,
I wonder if it'd be like that battle archery type thing where you know they have like that big poof on the end, but it's like a water balloon.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's too bad you don't have, like, a long-range way to, like, knock out guards where it's, like, the exact same thing, but it's full of, like, chloroform. You just, like, shoot a guy in the face, knock him out cold. But, yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of cool game mechanics. There's varying light levels. Sound is a big thing. Another gadget that you have is called the Moss Arrow, which is just a little arrow where you shoot it at the ground, and it kind of dissolves into a pad of grass, and that muffles your footsteps, basically, because, like, metal, wood, carpets, glass all make different levels of sound where, like, even if you're crouching, because for some reason, like, in the game, it always sounds like Garrett's wearing tap shoes. If you're walking on anything other than carpet, even crouching, you make, it's like clop, clop.
Yeah, he's Dutch. We're going to learn that Garrett is a Dutch name and he's wearing clogs. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
I also, what's really nice about the Moss Arrows too, is that it shows you where north is if you shoot them at a rock.
I had the same thought. I had the same thought. I was like, you can only fire them north? Like, what is the Moss Arrow? Yeah. That's funny, man.
Yeah. Then there's other ones, like, there's a noise arrow that has, like, a... I don't know what it's called, but, you know, like, on New Year's, you've got, like, the little kind of L-shaped thing that you just, like, swing around, and it goes, like,
noise maker.
Sort of, whatever.
It's got a little cartoon frog on an arrow. Hello, baby. Hello. Yeah.
A frog and clog?
To it.
A frog in clogs.
Yeah,
a frog in clog adventure.
I was watching, I saw on Reddit a picture of like 30-year-old clogs versus brand new ones, and they do look like they become comfortable, but what the Swedish were saying is that the clogs don't bend to your feet bend to the clogs over time, like you have to get used to them. Yeah,
it's like that also, like Chinese foot binding, like I don't think that's the right way to do it. Right?
I think wooden. I'd go with wooden shoes over turning my feet into little bird feet. But
yeah, I mean, me too. But also, like, I would buy a pair of shoes that fit me properly and not just like, no, don't worry about it. Like, I'm not worried about my posture. My bones will change shape.
Guys, I'm gonna be a dad soon. I'm buying like white New Balances, like full comfort.
Come on, yeah, of course.
Socks up to the knees. Grass stains on them and stuff.
It's I hope
great.
So.
I mean, to be fair, I already do socks up to the knees with shorts, so.
Yeah,
that one's not a stretch, and I do own several fanny packs.
Good,
really?
I got some boxes already checked. Don't worry,
I have a fanny pack somewhere. I don't know.
I know a friend of my girlfriend's wears a fanny pack across his chest.
Yeah, that's how I typically wear mine.
I have an Electronic Arts an EA fanny pack from a convention that I went to, and every time you put $5 in, it takes 25%. but it does work, but you just have to pay for the
streamer spends $10,000 trying to get his keys out of an EA fanny pack. Anyway, back to the city. So the city is ruled over by a baron who in the original games is actually out of town leading troops in a war against another city state called Blackbrook. Possibly due to them actually having the creativity to name the town, or for economic reasons. It's never really... There's a bunch of stuff that Garrett... It's really interesting to play as a guy who's really just part of the city, there's a lot of stuff that Garrett simply does not know and is not written into the lore. Most of the lore is from stuff that you can pick up and read and actually like talk to people about, because he's not... He, of course, has protagonist powers where the most interesting things that all happen within the city all happen to involve Garrett.
Yeah.
But he's not, like... He's not necessarily the chosen one, or not, like, not in the same kind of way. Despite the difficulty and maybe the jankiness, I still recommend the original games. Like, or the first two, of course. Like, you know, yeah, Thief Deadly Shadow, I played it for half an hour. Fucking buy it. Like, it's not really an endorsement, but I'll get to it one day, maybe. The city was built on the site of at least two prior civilizations. One was called Karath Din, and it's part of some sort of techno-magical empire, like simply called the Precursors, which did give me some Halo flashbacks, but I recovered, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then the second empire that is below the city, or the remnants of it, is called the Kershok. The Kershok are a race of xenophobic fish people whose empire was likely destroyed while collaborating with a god named the Trickster. The Trickster is a combination of Pan and Loki, really.
Right.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the Trickster was a combination of Trick and Stir.
Yeah, it's a portmanteau.
Yeah, it's like tricky the way when you stir a pot, yeah. Like all the vegetables move around in it, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty tricky.
There's like master chefs who can do different types of trick stirs. Like you spin it up, and if it's especially especially viscous, you could like spin and move upwards to make like a mountain that kind of settles. Like
like grown up, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got like sleeve tattoos, and he's like, honestly, it's like cool to watch him make your drink the first time, but like frankly, waiting 6 minutes for him to mix your drink every time is a little I'm trying to fucking score here, dude. Like, what are you doing?
He drops an egg onto the table and has three mounds of dough that he spins around, and then when he lifts them up, it was under none of them the whole time. But he lifts, and then he lifts one up, and there's three eggs underneath, and you're like, what?
So overall, the world of Thief is not kind of as much of a bleak hellhole like Dishonored is, until the reboot, of course, which just stole from Dishonored because it was like a spiritual successor to Thief, and then New Thief was just like, what if we made Dishonored but worse?
Yeah. there's no successor to Dishonored, which was a spiritual successor to Thief.
Exactly.
And that's how you just end up in a feedback loop, getting progressively like more grimdank, right?
Yeah. Like, there's no plague or anything like that, and honestly, life in the city doesn't even seem that bad. Like, it's not a police state. Like, there's like some factions, which is what this episode is going to be about, that like have their own thing, but it's not like, you know, it's not just the rich and then like a slave caste. There's like regular people in between.
Okay.
Basically, which is cool. It's a very neat world to read about and to like play through, because and that's I guess why Garrett is a cool lead as well, because he's just like part of the fabric of the city. He's just like a, you know, most of the games start off where he's just like, well, I gotta pay rent, and like he's just a thief by trade. It's not like I need to save the world. He always gets wrapped up in something by, you know, breaking into the Baron's mansion and stealing something spooky. But primarily, like, the tutorial missions are always just like, you need $1,000 or else you're gonna get kicked out of your shack, right? Like, it's like a good setup, right?
So the antagonist, much like real life, is landlords.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Kind of evicted.
If you look at the next spoiler image, you can see what Garrett looks like as well.
He looks like a map. Whoa, that's so cool.
Did they end up out of order, those bastards?
Yeah, I think number two was a map, which I don't know if you told us to reveal the first two, but
it is a map of the city, but I put in the wrong image in the script. So
okay, there you go.
I put in two for the city. One was like the industrial, the dark area with all the kind of lit up houses, and then there was the map too. But,
okay, so presumably when you say reveal spoiler image three, you're gonna mean four.
Find the picture of Garrett.
I found it. It's the one right underneath the map, and it looks like he has glaucoma, and he has a little tiny sword. Like, the hilt is almost as big as the blade, so it's like a dagger, I guess, with a hilt.
A little tiny sword, like a dagger.
I know, you never see the handguard on a dagger. When do you see a handguard?
It's not a handguard, it's a buckle on his clothes.
That's on his belt.
Yeah.
Did you order your glasses?
Jamie.
I did.
Oh my god.
I didn't order the glasses.
You had it pulled up, you had them chosen and everything.
No.
Don't hit buy.
He does not have glaucoma. I'll explain what's up with his eye later on.
Yeah. Leather armor. I do like how, Jamie, you also inserted the word eye into glaucoma by calling it glycoma.
There's no EA in glycoma. I mean, yeah. Fuck.
Give him a smack on the ass. Just like, yeah. So outside the cities are the pagans, who are presumably white people with gross dreads, harem pants, and dirty feet. They refer to themselves in their own kind of... They speak pidgin English, primarily, okay. Which I tried to look up. It's like a different kind of version of it. I didn't really understand. But if you heard it, you would recognize it. They refer to themselves as the folk o' the woodsy, and they worship the natural world, as well as the trickster, who we mentioned just before. Over the course of the first game, the trickster is actually disguised as a man named Constantine, and he hires Garrett to steal various objects that he actually requires secretly for, like, a chaotic ritual that he wants to perform within the Maw of Chaos, which is his, like, little pocket dimension magical realm, which the trickster is aiming to destroy all technology and reclaim the Earth with nature, basically.
Okay. Sounds like a good guy. Just saying.
He left that part out. He left the whole destroy the city part out of the Craigslist post when he had hired, like,
naturally.
You know, yeah. Like M4T, man for thief, looking for a man to disrupt the order of things.
We're very much living through the evils of what industrialization in this time did right now. Like, we're kind of coming face to face with a lot of those consequences right now. So I'm going to say, like, mad sorcerer with the Maw of Chaos in his back room who's trying to destroy the city and return to nature, become monkey. Yeah, I kind of get it.
He is the become monkey. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the trickster thing. I think it would be a really cool restaurant idea. You call it Trickster, and it's like one of those dinner and a show type things where you sit like right in front of where, like, the cook is.
Benihana.
Yeah, yeah. And they make your meal, but there's like magic tricks in the whole cooking of your meal. And so it's like dinner and a show. And when you finally get it, it might be kind of scary because who wants to eat something that was made with magic? But
I've been watching Arrested Development, and this sounds like a thing Job would pitch to Tobias. I'm going to be real.
Yeah.
I would go to that. I think that'd be a fun, even like a first date or something. That'd be fun. You get a show, you get some nice meal.
If I know anything about the restaurant industry, and I've never worked in a kitchen or in front end or anything like that, but I have been to restaurants. I think the biggest marker for success is how good the pun on the restaurant's name is.
Yes.
That typically decides whether a restaurant makes it or breaks it. That's why, I don't know if you guys noticed, McDonald's sells burgers, and everybody knows the Big Mac, the famous burger.
Uh-huh.
That's
right.
Sold at McDonald's, so that's, you know, it's in the name right there. It's the kinda, Big MacDonald's.
Yeah,
right?
It's kind of self-recursive, but I get it, though, yeah. got it.
Like, I don't know if you guys noticed Burger King. So King is like royalty, right? Yeah. What is Burger King? Have you guys ever thought about what Burger King sells? They sell burgers primarily.
No, I mean, it felt so natural, it really never occurred to me.
Yeah, they sell burgers.
That's good marketing, right?
It's like they're the king of burger, right? It's pretty cool when you really open your eyes to the world. Man. Anyway, I got some pamphlets for you guys that I'm gonna dish out later. Buy gold, and
Ryan's
and don't get back.
Just fuck. Go back on.
Yeah, sell your bone marrow for thousands of dollars.
Yeah, too, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No word of a lie, though. When I was working in payment, like for small businesses. The greatest pun, like, I don't even know why they're doing something else. The people who have the best pun names are pet groomers, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of them. It's been years, but I just remember, like, every time a dog groomer or a pet groomer would call, or if there's, like, or if I saw their email and what kind of business they were once I looked up their merchant ID, basically, it was just like, that is a hilarious name. What do they do? Oh, yeah, they trim dog nails. Oh, fucking. They're always good.
We got pause. Okay, we can come up with some. Pause for effect.
That's good.
Yep. Grooming. You got dog groomers unleashed.
That's a very good one.
That one's intense. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah.
Unleashed.
It's got like the lowercase x, then the uppercase x before it, and the uppercase x, then lowercase x.
Yeah, it's a gamer dog there.
Unleashed.
No more meowchies, and that's because the soap doesn't give them tears anymore.
Okay. The L'Oreal kids thing.
Yeah.
I remember putting L'Oreal kids in my eyes.
Oh, we all did. Every child did that. Like, that was such a dangerous marketing.
It made you cry.
Thing.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it burned like hell.
Yeah, no more tears, but your eyes are now covered in like a miniature concrete.
Yeah. You've got glaucoma, like fucking hair here.
You know, one of our work name for the event was actually really good. It was for a Terry Fox run, and they called it Cirque de Sore Legs, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, local worldwide circus Cirque du Soleil.
Comes
from Montreal. So
And Terry Fox, of course, lost one of his legs to cancer and ran halfway across the country for charity.
A third of the way, but still.
I almost said he made it to Thunder Bluff, dude. I am so into WoW coming out tomorrow. Thunder Bay, dude.
It is Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Yeah.
Where were we here? Right. The Trickster and his relics that he is secretly having Garrett steal for his monkey-pilled ritual, right? bring that one back. One of the relics Garrett steals is called the Eye, which is a magic rock, so take a drink, embedded in a small mechanical device with claws on it. So it's like a crystal with a base, and it's got these three little pointy claws that would retract and actually grab something.
It's like the Eye that I embedded in glaucoma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So when it was made is unknown. It could be as old or older than the city itself, or even from before the Kershok Empire. So where these relics came from and when they were made is unknown. So I can't remember which one we're at. I think it's the fifth spoiler image should be a picture of what the eye looks like. And you can see it is like a paperweight with claws on it.
It is the fourth spoiler image. Just want to call that out for the listeners at home. It is the fourth one.
It's got three little fingers with only one knuckle on each of them, I guess.
They're like
it's like the scam carnival game claw, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
The claw. He speaks for all of us. Yeah.
When can we do an episode about the religion of the squeaky aliens from Toy Story?
For real.
God, I hope soon.
The eye may have been used, like, we don't really know what had caused this event, but the eye may have been used 50 years before the game starts to cause something called the Cataclysm, where the dead were raised in the old quarter of the city. The bodies were from a Hammerite cathedral, another faction which we're going to get into, and multiple factions all actually managed to work together, and they just walled off that section of the city that was full of zombies. They were like, we don't know what caused the Cataclysm, but the dead have risen, so we all got to work together, guys, and build that wall, basically.
And they just put a wall around it, like, yeah, it's good enough.
Well, they can't climb, right? If you encounter the zombies in the first game, one, they can be killed with holy water arrows.
Okay.
For one. So there's like these, like, what are they called? Like a cistern or something? The little, what's the dish in a church? Whatever the fuck that thing's called.
The holy moly.
Reliquary? No, not a reliquary.
It is the holy moly. You're right.
Yeah.
But, like, what's the real term for it?
I like the holy moly, to be honest. Yeah.
You can bless your water arrows in them when you're facing off against the undead, and when you hit them, I think they catch fire and then they explode.
Called stoops.
Oh, there you go.
Wanted to know.
Stoops.
Yeah. So you can dunk them, and you can dunk your water arrows in a stoop, and that's how you actually kill the undead. So honestly, despite the Cataclysm's name, it was handled pretty well, and the city is not overrun by the corpses of the dead.
They made Cataclysm. The word Cataclysm means like utterly destroyed, like everything's over, end of the world kind of situation. Whereas Decimation actually means only like 10% destroyed, right?
Yeah.
And everybody uses Decimation to mean completely destroyed, and these guys are like, we're going to use Cataclysm to mean only about 10% destroyed.
Yeah, oh, it's like the word literally. It's just lost meaning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the final ingredient for the Trickster's spell was actually Garrett's right eye, which is why one of his pupils is all glaucoma-y.
Okay.
Now, Garrett, I have your toughest job yet. You've got to steal your own eye for me.
Oh, I was looking into it. You can sell your corneas for like a good chunk of change, like 30,000 or something like that. For
what? But the eye, it's the whole eye was only $1,500, Jamie.
Just put a little plastic on it. Yeah, I know. It depends on where you look.
That's true, yeah.
Man. I'm starting to not trust whoever's buying all these body parts from you.
Yeah. This Oregon merchant doesn't seem like he's on the straight and narrow, Jamie. Yeah.
If you guys want to make some money, you could spend only $3 a month to get into our Patreon to learn how to make $300 a week.
Oh, damn, yeah. Like, Organ Merchant has a pretty early retirement, though, so don't worry about it. I have a funny story about that, where, because my grandmother had, like, lung cancer from smoking forever. She's been dead for years, so this is not a sad story. She had lung cancer from smoking for years, and my dad's, like, most vivid memory, he was there when she passed away in the hospital, and then, like, the doctors have, like, I guess, like, a stopwatch for, like, to let the family in the room grieve, because the doctors came in, and, like, for my dad and his siblings, they're just like, we're very sorry, yeah, yeah. Can we have her corneas? And all of them were just like, yeah, go for it. Go for it, because she had signed the organ donor card, yeah, and those guys come in quick. They're just like,
they move fast, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on that list. I don't know if anyone's going to want anything that I've left in my body, but if they, free game, they can have it, if it's going to help them.
Yeah, it's like, what are people going to say about your corneas? Like, ordered glasses, never worn. Completely useless.
Fun thing about Ontario is it's opt-out if you don't want to be an organ donor.
Oh, it's default organ harvesting.
Yep.
I guess my dad's in Ontario now, yeah. But, I mean, he's been an organ donor for years. My grandmother died in Quebec, so she was opt-in.
My dad's...
If you're listening to this and you're on the fence, just donate your organs.
Yeah.
You don't need them.
Do it, coward.
Some of the older generations, like, still against it. Like, I remember asking my dad, and even though he's getting cremated, he's like, no, I don't want people taking my organs. That's weird. And I'm like, no, well, if it can help someone, why not?
You're being literally cremated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather they just, like, dump me into a big pile of shit and nobody can ever use me ever again. You know? That's what I want.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if he, like, pictures, like, the afterlife is exactly what you are, like, right before you're cremated or something. I have no idea.
I hope my,
like,
grandmother's not in Catholic heaven with no corneas. That'd be very annoying.
Just so unsettling, because she's perfectly fine and can see, but it's just, like, so weird to look at her when you're just looking straight at her retinas every time you're talking to her, basically.
Yeah, she probably has to. You probably have to blink a lot too if your eyes are that sensitive.
Or blink less, because you're moistening your cornea, right? So,
yeah,
it's just. I wonder if, like, you ever, like.
what are you laughing about?
You go for a drive and, like, you roll the windows down, but your little eyes are now, like, little air pockets, so they're like, you get, like, extra pressure when they, like, catch the wind, you know?
Like, whenever you're, like, skydiving and your mouth gets all big, like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Oops. Made me smack my mic.
No, why don't you use your corneas, James, to see where your friggin' microphone
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I should have.
Can't see where your fucking corneas at.
I can't even. I'll just leave it. It's fine.
So the trickster plucks out Garrett's right eye and puts it in the mechanical eye relic, which is why his right eye is white. Is because he gets a prosthetic mechanical eye built by a scientist we're going to talk about a little bit more later, named Karis. Karis creates his mechanical eye, and it seems to have some kind of, like, fantasy Bluetooth capability. Because one of the gadgets in Thief 2, when you've got your mechanical eye, is, like, this little camera orb that you can, like, bounce off walls, and it lands on the ground, and then you have, like, whatever, 30 seconds where you can kind of get the lay of the land to see if there's guards patrolling or something like that.
Yeah.
To see what's going on.
A little
drone. On the ground in the metro, you know, look up someone's skirt.
Yeah.
My neighbor would love that.
So, Mark, with this biotic eye, how would you deal with text messages while you're driving?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg just has zero answer for it.
Yeah, I love that, because that is, like, such a good interview to watch, like, the chunk there where it's, like, Mark Zuckerberg and Joe Rogan, like, professional caveman, where Mark is talking about, like, integrated whatever metaverse VR into your brain, and Joe is just like, wouldn't that be distracting? And Mark,
rich guy
and Mark
who's
like,
never driven
that
himself.
Someone would ask that question.
Yeah. Someone who's not needed to drive themselves for a very long time.
Yeah.
Had not considered driving while also getting notifications in your eyes. Yeah.
Anyway. On your corneas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, eventually the trickster is defeated by Garrett using a tactic that he probably learned from the fucking Looney Tunes, where he swapped out the real eye relic for an explosive decoy, basically.
Oh, classic.
Which, like, of course...
It's like a stack of bombs built into the shape of a shapely woman with, like, lipstick on, and it's just, like, one wick slowly burning towards it. Well, the scientist is just like, awooga!
Yeah. That's better than the one that I had imagined and written down. So absolutely, that is what you swap in there.
I was thinking like brick wall, but you paint it so the eye is still like on a pedestal in the brick wall, and the guy runs into the brick wall trying to get
to it.
Oh, and gets crushed flat, and then uses his hand to peel himself off.
Yes, of course.
Of course. So anyway, that's how Garrett defeats the trickster god and kills him in the same fashion that the Roadrunner would kill Wile E. Coyote.
Perfect.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So in opposition to all these gross nature-loving hippies are the Hammerites, which I had mentioned earlier. They're an order of religious technocrats who fervently worship the Builder, the architect god who is said to have blessed mankind with technology and raised us up out of savagery.
Cool.
While they're pretty zealous, they're not really portrayed as evil. Again, the city is not a police state or even like a theocratic kingdom or anything like that. They're responsible for constructing all the roads, the buildings, the technology. They brought electricity and like heating to the city. So again, they're not the most evil guys on the planet.
Yeah, they're the Freemasons. It's like, you know, they're building the roads. They're, you know, they're certain unions and all that, but yeah. They believe in, you know, strange things, but they're okay.
Yeah, you could live alongside the Hammerites. The head of the Hammerites is the High Priest, and he resides in the Hammer Temple, which sounds very cool.
Yeah, it got foreclosed on whenever MC Hammer couldn't pay his taxes. Yeah.
These guys sound like the perfect people to have around to keep the trains running on time, but like they're probably not so nice to their wife when they go home. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they worship the train too, which is very odd, but we just let them do it.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in Thief is pretty reminiscent of 40K. They are like AdMech, but like way less dangerous, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, they've, I guess, removed the tips from the fangs if we're going to compare it to 40K. Because 40K is like pretty bleak and violent all the time forever.
Grim and dank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a grim dank. Thief is much less grim dank. The mission where you have to go into the Hammerite Temple, Garrett actually uses a disguise opposed to relying on his like sneaky skills, since the security had been upped since an alleged break-in at the Cragscleft Prison, which is the mission before that.
What was the disguise?
It's honored. Sorry.
What's the disguise? Because I'm looking at the picture of him. And he's got like all black clothes, like draped like heavily over his face. Does he just have the mustache? Or...
Yes.
Again, Peter, may I guess? He wears a Hammerite uniform.
He does do that.
Oh, I thought it'd be something more fun, like a
I would love
Potato.
The idea that he just like he is exactly like that. He's just got the little Hammerite pin. Like he's still like all black leather, like black hood up, and he's still crouching and like skulking around the place. But he's just got like everybody's just like there in their like regular clothes. Like it's just like cotton dockers and like a button up. Everybody's just like just off work, stop by the Hammerite Temple because everybody has a beer after work before going home, kind of thing. And he's there in like all black, like crouching around. But he's got his little pin that says "I'm a Hammerite." Too.
Yeah,
like,
he's in it.
You guys ever get the urge to Assassin's Creed your way through a crowd, like? Holding your hands in the prey position and like pushing people. When I'm in crowds, I always want to push people in front of me.
I don't know if it's ever struck me, but maybe the next time I'm in a crowd, which it feels like so long since I've been in a crowd. I feel like last Christmas time when like holiday shopping was like the last time I was in a serious crowd. Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can. It's coming up, the holidays, so I'll see if I can like remember that and. Yeah. Maybe just push some people out of my way while I'm walking through a crowd.
I'm like way too polite in public. I was like waiting for someone to come all the way down the stairs.
You'd be a terrible
assassin. So I could go up a bit. And then people are like pushing me out of the way and they're going past me. I'm just like letting everybody go first. The world's crazy, man. I don't know. I haven't been out.
You've been looking so browbeaten by that.
I haven't been out in public. Like, I don't know. COVID's changed me. The crowds are tough, man. Crowds are tough.
I've never liked. Crowds, honestly.
Your favorite bar, Jamie, is like 4.5 feet wide. Like, how do you say
I know everyone there, and I usually go in late afternoon before it gets too crowded.
Okay,
it gets
too spicy. So just on the subject of the people who made Thief, also made Dishonored, the Knife of Dunwall, the first DLC for the first Dishonored, and which are perfect, as in my opinion, you do the exact same thing. You use a disguise from that religious order to break into a prison to break this lady out who you need. I think she's like the captain of your ship or some shit.
Okay.
I personally think that the three of us would make excellent Hammerites, as we often say how the internet was a mistake. Mm-hmm. Part of the Hammerite belief is that there is a limit to how much technological advancement you should pursue.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Now, this obviously has created a schism within the Hammerite order, but we'll find out more about that after the break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, everybody. Now, after listening to that ad, we can get into religious schisms. Yay!
Yeah. So we've got trains are good, 4chan is bad, and that's our spectrum. And we know that somewhere in the middle there are the Hammerites' beliefs on technology.
Correct.
Right. It should have stopped somewhere.
Yeah.
Because everyone can agree, even the most avid internet user can agree that 4chan was bad. People that use 4chan will agree that 4chan was bad.
People use 4chan because 4chan is bad, and they know and believe that it's bad.
Yeah.
I believe that they believe.
That's how they know they fit in there. The way that they talk about themselves, like, you know that they don't have the highest perception of themselves either, but... yeah.
So the schism here would lead to a faction of, you know, again, technology worshippers, but it's gone too far, called the Mechanists. And the Mechanists are the ones who actually usher in the Metal Age, which is the subtitle for Thief 2, the one that I beat, the good one that I beat, not the bad one that I beat. Very much, again, recommend this game. Just save scum like I did. Just like every 6 feet, save, just quick save, because you're going to make a mistake.
I'm not going to, because that's not fun.
You're right. I mean, it depends on who you ask.
I'm not going to play this game because having to hit save and reload every 10 seconds is not fun to me.
I mean, it happened that you played, what was that game? Pathfinder. You had to save scum that one. XCOM. There's games that you'll save scum, but I guess the sneaking's probably not.
Okay, yeah, he had to save scum in Pathfinder, but also, if you do not remember the salt that was pouring out of this man, you're so upset.
They locked me into this level 10 fight, and all that,
I had to save scum because they locked me in a dungeon that took, like, I think it took, like, a week and a half real time to do, and I was just like, oh, I wonder, like, what it looks like on the inside, and it's like, the door closes behind you, and it's locked forever until you kill the big boss, and I was like, okay, well, I didn't bring any fucking supplies with me, so.
All right, yeah. Better just keep saving and roll 100, save again, and, roll 100,
and,
save again.
And you know what? I never beat that game, beat that dungeon, and kind of stopped playing it, so.
Yeah, I can't imagine the whole, turned a blind corner and were caught and murdered by the guards thing would be a whole lot of fun for Ethan because that's the entire game. You don't have a skill tree. Garrett never gets good at fighting. It's a 99% pure stealth game and like a couple of puzzles. That's about it.
Damn.
So the guy who is leading the charge of the in the schism between the Hammerites and the Mechanists was your old buddy Karis, the guy who made you the mechanical eye. I can't believe.
Made a good eye for me.
Yeah.
It did distract me while I was driving, made me crash into an orphanage, but it's like pretty cool to live in the metaverse, so kind of worth it.
Yeah.
Guys, come on.
Yeah, but the orphanage didn't have a Facebook account, so it's not like it really happened. So
it's not even a real person. It's like they don't even exist.
Yeah. Karis actually made Garrett's mechanical eye in the hopes that he would join the Mechanists. It was kind of just like a it's like, oh, you don't have any insurance? Don't worry about it, dude. I'll give you your mechanical eye and your whatever, your fucking panty shot robot drones that you can toss out onto the street.
Yeah.
I'll take care of it.
That's...
All you need to do is join my spooky church full of robot slaves.
That's the beginning of last week's topic, dude. Cyberpunk, like at the beginning of it, you get a free eye from Vic because he's like, don't worry, you're going to need it. This is like an insurance policy. I need you to come back.
Like a side quest where you can pay him off too, right?
I did it right away and I regretted it.
It's 21 grand.
You don't get nothing for it, and
You get the sense of satisfaction from doing the right thing.
So
I paid him off before doing anything else, and I'm like, okay, I have no cybernetics now. I paid him off. Now what? Cool.
Yeah. I think I did that my first playthrough too. Yeah. I don't know if I ever regretted it, but I was like, I feel like that's what the way I was role playing my character. I was like, I feel like this is what my character would do. Yeah. Because they were like a nomad. They were all about like family and like paying your debts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then Corpo, I never paid him off. Obviously. Yeah. Nah, fuck you.
Yeah, Trump doesn't pay his lawyers. It's like a thing I keep hearing in the news. Just like, yeah, well, that's it. You're a lost idiot. So Karras had begun creating robots called the Builder's Children and calling himself the Father. This was getting a little too intense for the Hammerites. The combat robots, which I think is spoiler image 5 for real this time, are steam powered and can be shut down if you shoot the little wood stove on their back.
I know, I laugh.
It's like a frog-shaped body. They've got the claw hand, the claw on the left. And then they have what looks like a cannon or something on the right.
Yeah.
And it's like their torso is a big face with a bejeweled monocle, essentially.
It looks like the bejeweled monocle is a camera, actually. That's how they see.
Okay.
It looks like bronze framework all through the body with like mithril like plating or something like that. And then the face is just like straight up bronze. And
I picture it as like copper that's like turned green because copper, like when you like leave it out,
oxidizes. Like our Canadian government buildings, they all have green roofs because they used to be copper. Yeah,
and Lady Liberty herself.
Yep,
they must have looked pretty cool when the Parliament was first constructed with those copper roofs. It must have looked pretty fucking cool to have them like shining copper on top
after a single winter. Everything's green when it all sluices off. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, they whenever they redo the roofing, it's gonna blind some guy's cybernetic eye with the sun bouncing off of it. They'll crash into an orphanage without a Facebook account.
And it's like, fucking government, dude. If they had like invested that money that they spent on the copper roof and like Bitcoin, dude, we'd all be like fucking mega rich right now, man.
But yeah.
Like,
idiots, hey, man, we got a Bitcoin bro as a leader of the opposition now. Don't worry, baby. Yeah. We will destroy the economy yet.
I know.
These things are huge. And like for anybody who might not look it up, and they remind me, friend of the show, like real life friend, Reclusiarch, showed me Warhammer Fantasy a long, long time ago. The face poking out of their chest looks like Balthazar Gelt a lot, if you know who that is. It's like chrome plated. He's got like a golden mask with the kind of have like sunbeams coming off of it. They look a lot like that, but more like alien shaped, or like, you know, like elongated South American skulls that are part of a lot of like alien conspiracies. They're kind of shaped like that, basically.
Yeah, he's got he's got spokes on his hat.
Yeah,
do South Americans have longer skulls?
No, but there was like some. Yeah, Jamie. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are.
I love how Pete took the bait for like half the sentence. That was like,
yeah.
I mean, it was a half serious question. Like, there is like differences in his skull to someone who is like born in China versus born in Europe like 500 years ago, right? Because there wasn't that much like travel and interbreeding and stuff. So
yeah. And those tiny little heads you get in the rainforests.
How does that happen?
Shrunken heads, you know, like I don't know how do they make heads so small.
Shrunken head was actually a branding thing. That's a regular size head.
Oh, shit. It's just perspective.
Yeah.
When he's telling it to you, he's holding one head way back here by his chest.
It's a forced perspective shot. It's like how they made the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, a lot of South Americans walk with their chin slightly out to kind of give their perspective of a longer head.
That's true.
So while they patrol the cathedrals and where they're set up, these machines will constantly recite scripture. They're not alive. They actually have like a wax, like an old-timey wax cylinder constantly playing a voice recording, which you guys can listen to on your own time. I did post a link to. The voice that comes out of them is both funny and creepy because Karras kind of sounds like the Brain from Animaniacs. He's played by the same voice actor as Geralt, who is Stephen Russell, who also plays Corvo in Dishonored 2.
Okay.
And also Nick Valentine in Fallout 4. It's the same actor.
Oh, okay.
And the Garrett Nick Valentine voice is his regular voice, but he is very much doing like what sounds like an impression of the Brain when he's doing Karras, who himself is like Maurice LaMarche's impression of Orson Welles.
Okay.
Right? So he's like two impressions deep, and like these giant mechanical robots walking around, and they're like, yes, we worship the Builder, the Builder's love. Like they sound very they sound very dopey.
Very cool.
And they talk about the Father Karras, basically. And Karras in the final level like torments you over the intercom, and he is very much like, Geralt, I wish I gave you that eye for a reason, sort of thing. He's just like, it's a very dopey voice, but like, it's a very
the power I gave you to look up women's skirts, Gareth.
Exactly.
Don't throw it all away. Yeah, I can blow you as easily as I built you.
He has an arrow that he shoots that makes a mirror surface underneath someone's skirt.
How much ankle would you have seen without me? None. No. So when Karras created the Schism, he obviously was joined by several other Hammerites who shared his like kind of ambition, or his reckless ambition, really, and his disgust for organic life. So to get the nobility on his side, Karras gifted many of them with something called masked servants. He claimed that they were automatons and that they were 100% loyal, never got tired, and unlike a human maid, could not get pregnant if you decided to cheat on your wife with them.
Okay.
If for some reason you found yourself in one of the city's seedier boroughs, you may have noticed a mysterious lack of hobos and prostitutes. And as seen on this graph here, that seems to be going down at the exact same rate as the amount of masked servants goes up. That's just like, that's correlation. It's not, don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't
not mean causation.
No. Don't worry about it. I am too busy.
I just
want to
know if
Amazon.
My goddamn taxes are going to go up, okay?
They won't. Don't you worry about it.
Well, then I don't care.
Look at this article in the Washington Post completely absolving Karras of all responsibility. Don't worry about it.
Perfect. Who owns the Washington Post again?
Karras.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, he's probably the best source then, getting the info.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Source, right? Yeah.
It's the Mechanist zone.
That's good that he's cleared from it then.
I've been watching all. Like honestly, I love watching The Boys on Mechanist Prime too. It's fantastic. Yeah. Karras and his Mechanists also began rewriting the scriptures of the Hammerites, and I have a quote here from the New Scripture of the Master Builder. I really hate to trip, but I gotta be loke. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke, fool. I'm the kind of G the little homies want to be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. This is from the scripture, the rewritten scripture called The Builder's Paradise.
I was like, I know this is a Peter fake out, but I don't know what he's talking
about. A world where all organic life has been eliminated and replaced with technology.
Okay. Pave paradise, put up a machine parking lot.
Yes. Yeah. I actually had it was actually Coolio who rewrote the scriptures.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. I knew this was a fake out. I couldn't stop smiling. I couldn't get through it. If I could turn off my fucking camera, I could do like a way better fake out. So, to eliminate organic life, Karras wanted to use the masked servants. So within them was also a canister filled with something called necrotic mutox, which is casually called rust gas. And when exposed to rust gas, plants, animals, and people are broken down into like a reddish rust-like substance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know you can sell your reddish rust-like substance on the internet if you know the right type
Jamie.
Of people.
Trying to make ends meet. Yeah. Canisterous poisonous gas. I mean, like, every month you can just resell it for $300, dude. It's great. There was far more gas that was ready to be released from the Soulforge Cathedral, which was the church that the Mechanists had built for themselves. However, with the help of the pagan dryad named Victoria, Garrett managed to stop Karras. Victoria was a powerful spirit who can shapeshift just like the trickster did. Normally she appears as a regular human woman, but since people in the city would be kind of put off by her actual skin, which looks like bark, she rarely appeared in her true form. She is not as powerful as the trickster was, but was a demigod of some kind.
Like in our timeline, she showed up as a 90-year-old lady who was a monarch for Britain.
Victoria?
Exactly. And just recently in the current timeline, she returned to tree.
Also, the queen who just died was Elizabeth.
Oh, was it? Oh, which one was Victoria?
She died like centuries ago.
It was Elizabeth's grandmother, I think.
Yeah, something like, yeah, it was like, because her father was King George, right?
What's their and last name? What's the queen's last
Windsor.
Name?
Windsor.
Oh, you guys are good.
Yeah. Could you imagine being impressed by knowing one of the most famous people on Earth's last name?
I would not. This came up. I was watching. I forget what I was watching, but it came up. And they're like, do you know the queen's last name? And I was like, no way.
No way.
I am not surprised that you didn't.
I didn't even know her first
name. Amaranth. The second? Amaranth's is that not her family name?
I don't know Amaranth's first or last name. But.
I know. Do you know what nationality? You know where their heritage is? What country it comes from?
Amaranth?
No, the Windsors.
In Britain, I hope.
No, it's German.
They're really? German. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Is that why our languages are all tied up together?
I mean, yes and no. That's not the direct cause. More like them becoming king and queens, maybe as a result of there being so much like Saxon presence in the EU or the EU, the UK, not explicitly not the EU.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so we've got Bark Woman who realizes that the people of this industrial town will never recognize a type 2 body with power, I think.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. When the fuck did we
do that? That was in sound check. Type 1 and, type one and type 2 there's no male or female in World of Warcraft anymore. It's a type 1 body or type 2. Type 1 just happens to be male, yeah.
So a type two body with any kind of authority would not be accepted within the city, especially with bark skin. So she disguised herself as a regular type 2 body with fleshy, like, you know, skin like ours, basically.
Right.
Yeah. And this is due to her powerful magics. So to delay the release of the gas, Victoria unleashes her power completely and like expands into a network of vines to basically plug all the different exhaust vents within the Soulforge Cathedral. So she blocks that up. Sadly, this kind of overexerted her type 2 body and she dies in the process.
Oh no.
She sacrifices herself to help Garrett, because without her help, he would not have had enough time to go up and actually stop Karis.
Wait, would Queen Victoria be around in the 1800s? Maybe this is his
Yeah. She was around in the late 1800s.
Okay. Well then this might be her then.
The Victorian era was like the late 1800s, like 1870 or something
like
that.
It's when stuff looks like Bloodborne.
That's she was born in 1819. She actually died in 1901. So it's literally like right up until the end of the 19th century. She stuck around for 1 year to see, like, do I like this 20th century?
Nah.
And then,
not for me. Yeah.
Made like a frog.
Things getting too advanced. and eventually Karis and the mechanists are actually killed by their own creation, because with the plugging of the vents and then some whatever, like stealth hacking and redirecting of things, the rust gas is unleashed only within the cathedral and it kills the mechanists themselves. Victoria sadly dies, and then Garrett gets out to a type 1 body anew, basically.
It's like a drive-in a drive-in cathedral that everybody just passes out at the wheel because all the gas was filling up the cathedral.
Yeah, they put the speaker and a tube from your exhaust pipe in the front window so you can hear the movie and fall asleep.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sounds like a cult, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I was going to say that, the final faction we're going to cover are the Keepers. They're on another very kind of pseudo, like, Freemason.
They're like a niche faction on a soccer team, too.
Wait, what's the name? What's the name?
Keepers, because a keeper is a goaltender.
Yep.
A goalkeeper, of course.
Yeah. In Quidditch, maybe you've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you grill Jamie about the Queen. He doesn't know anything about it. You make one reference to soccer, and I'm just like, huh. Yeah.
I don't know anything about the type 2 monarchs, okay?
Yeah. So Garrett works closely with the Keepers in Thief Deadly Shadows. They're like an organization of kind of... They're kind of low fantasy wizards. They use something called glyph magic, where they write down different symbols and whatnot, and every symbol is representative of a different kind of magical power. They're not straight up wizards with like wands and like beams and shit like that on the subject of Quidditch, I suppose.
Sure.
It's much more low fantasy. Thief itself is, even when things kind of involve magic and like, you know, gas that dissolves people, it's still very much, it's much more grounded than a different kind of fantasy game. It's very kind of mixed into more like a regular city where folklore is real.
I mean, a lot like Dishonored, and this is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently, is like organic, like making fantasy worlds like more organic and more based on like real world folklore, where a lot of D&D or a lot of D&D, Jesus, a lot of fantasy and high fantasy like D&D that we talk about on this show is like, we've talked about it before, so rooted in Tolkien, right? So rooted in Tolkien and like his inspirations, I guess. But reading about like a lot of the
you know, world egg myths when we talk about certain fantasy franchises that like use like Chinese mythology or the Indian mythology or the Japanese mythology. I just find like super fascinating. So I always like this too, and that's something that I really liked about Dishonored. I thought it was so cool when you get like the Scrimshaw man or whatever his name is who talks about like carving the whale bones, and he just like appears in your dreams, like and like
oh, the Outsider.
The Outsider. That's what his name is. Death, hence Death of the Outsider, right? So yeah, I've always thought that was super cool, and like you said, like a direct love letter to these games. So I guess I'm not surprised, but happily informed that it's kind of the same thing, where it's this industrialized, modern, realistic world where they've just injected like hints of the Strange.
I think I'll run a D&D campaign for you, and this is what the process will be. Most of it. We don't go on adventures. We can maybe go on one adventure per year, depending on how much we save.
Just for the record, so far, you're describing every D&D game.
Okay.
Like, most of them act like they want to go on adventures, but then you spend a lot of time in town talking to, like, the gnome blacksmith who, you know, is an interesting character.
Oh, no, you can maybe talk to other people, but that'll be after your 10 to 12-hour shift. Where you have to do something monotonous, and there will be rolls, and if you do roll a one, you will be punished by your employer.
Can I quick save and quick load?
Not in this world. If you're lucky, you'll be able to afford a small house sometime, which most of your time outside of work will be spent in your humble abodes and just enjoying stuff like watching TV or being on the internet.
Okay. Can I skill like bonuses in watching TV or using the internet?
Yeah, you definitely can. You can learn how to use some of those like Windows function keys on your computer and stuff to get more out of your time on the computer. But
whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah. I probably want to stat dex then, right? For those. That's probably
for the Windows D to close all Windows because you can't do it otherwise.
And then once per year we can go on an adventure, but it's going to be at a place where it's all included. So you're going to be kind of, there's going to be a schedule where you have to be at any given time. You have to go eat at certain times and things like that. And there's going to be no monsters at all.
Jamie, just like D&D HR lady. Like, is that what you're
But it's going to be so rooted in what our real lives are right now that
most of our time is... I'm still waiting on you to inject the hint of Strange. What's the
hint of Strange? Oh, actually, wait. Yeah.
Sometimes you talk to a weird guy on the street and he's magic.
No, the strange part is like at a certain point you actually start making more than your boss, and you're able to actually buy a place to settle down and call home that's a little bit bigger. And
kind of unbelievable, honestly. I say jokingly as the only homeowner on this call.
I wonder if you could do like, you could probably do a fun tongue in cheek, like actual work life type of thing, but with like,
for sure they exist. Yeah.
Isn't there like a fake tabletop game in some cartoon called Death and Taxes, which is like where the dragons live out our lives or something like that? I feel like that's a thing that I've heard.
That sounds like fun. I'd play that.
I'm sure there is. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. I feel like that's a reference to something. Anyway, the Keepers. But yeah, like, so Dunwall, which is the city in Dishonored, and the city in Thief do share a lot of the same DNA. Of course, the Dishonored games do get way more fantastical with their expansions, which are totally worth playing. Even though, like, again, I've shit on Dishonored 2 enough. There's, like, positive aspects to it.
I know I'm really hammering this out, but I love that, like... It's like when you start Dishonored 1, it's so like you get these random encounters with the Outsider and it seems not real. But like the more disillusioned your character gets with industrialization, the more you start to believe in these like these other ways of life. Like people get so hung up in a society, like as society, we get so hung up in like the way we do it now is the only possible way to do it. Nobody's come up with another way. So there's no other way to do it kind of thing. And everybody just gets like lost in that mire when it's like, well, people were kind of doing it for. I've been doing it for 200,000 years, so maybe there's other avenues that we could kind of explore, but we're just in capitalism, you know? Like,
Not to get completely stuck on Dishonored, though it is relevant, and I fucking love those games. Like, the whales are, like, slightly magical in the same way that the glyphs and the pagans here are, because when you, in Death of the Outsider, spoilers, you do go to the void, and the whales just, like, the void seems to just be, like, the deeper you go in the ocean, because whales freely swim around the void as they go down, basically.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why their oil is so good for energy, is because they're not like spellcasters or anything, but there is clearly something slightly unnatural, in quotes, about the whales that are connected to the Outsider, right? And all this other cool shit.
Very cool.
Yeah. I will say, we always talk about how whenever we do an episode on a topic, we really want to play that game. This Thief episode is really making me want to play Dishonored, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not recommend you.
You can absolutely fight your way out of combat or out of an alarm. So
if you make a mistake, you don't need to just reload the entire fucking level.
Yeah.
So glyphs, like we were saying, just to go back here, it is kind of like Scrimshaw in Dishonored. It was like the inspiration for like carving magical spells in runes, which give you passive buffs in Dishonored, definitely came back from Thief. Like they initially just like brought this episode through because the glyphs are written down magical symbols that have like different effects, like we were saying. However, at least in Thief, the origin of the glyphs is not known. I had to lore boys canon this one. It is definitely from some sort of other spirit, like other magical god, because we know that the Builder is real, because that's where the Hammerites get their knowledge, and they have a relic as well, which we'll talk about shortly. And then like the Trickster is just like straight up a god, and Victoria was magic. Like it does exist. So the glyphs themselves seem to come from another realm, and these things are written down and used by the keepers. The Hammerites use a sentient artifact called the Chalice of the Builder, and the Eye that we talked about earlier is also a sentient, which these relics, they're not alive, like you don't speak to them, but they are allegedly conscious in some capacity.
Okay.
So they're like vessels for the god that they're like going through. So the chalice is from the Builder and the Eye is from someone else. It was used by, of course, the Trickster in his ritual. It's not known if he created it, but it's some sort of mundane thing that, you know, channels some sort of mysterious energy in the same way the runes in Dishonored do, just through the writings on them, right?
Cool.
Or being made of whalebone, I suppose, because the whales are, lightly magical. The keepers have many historical texts which predict the future, and they started to worry when they stopped predicting the future. They had like these predictive texts that had like ceased to write themselves, basically, and they were like, "Okay, we got to prepare for this. Something's going to go horribly wrong here."
2012. What the hell happened?
Exactly.
I've never looked up a whale skeleton until just now, and the top bone on their head is like a lot more slanted than I would have thought it was. Like,
some of them, Jamie, the Thief episode has given Jamie a just fascination with phrenology for some reason.
Yeah, they have such a long head. Oh no, wait, sorry. This is a picture of a South American. My bad.
Yeah, South America just used to be underwater. That's why they're just finding whale bones.
Don't get me started on the fossil tangent.
Okay. Let's keep going.
So, due to the fact that their prophecies had stopped writing themselves, the keepers started to show a kind of shocking amount of responsibility for a giant organization in a work of fiction. Writings from an ancient keeper named Albrecht say, and this is a real quote because it's relevant, "Who shall watch the watchers? Who shall keep the keepers? Alas, there is no one. No one to watch us. No one to keep us. This conclusion fills us with dread. For even a keeper should not be left unchecked," which is a very good, like, just a mid-tangent here. I love writing an organization like this. That is very cool. They were just like, "Hey, we have all these magical glyphs, and we literally predict the future. We need some kind of failsafe. Like, no man should have this responsibility."
Yeah. No type one should have this.
Yeah, excuse me, of course, yeah. "So it became our work to plan for the worst possible contingencies. If at some point in the distant time in the future, should the keepers become unbalanced, then only our work would stand in the way of disaster. This is why we labored long and hard to create the last of all glyphs." So the last of all glyphs is creatively named the final glyph. And Garrett brought it to all of its different activation sites, which were related to different sentient relics. So he brought it to the chalice, he brought it to the eye, he brought it to some other ones that aren't, MacGuffins in the previous games.
Sure.
And this was to complete the ritual so that he could activate it and prevent Gamal, also known as the Hag, from using the glyphs to cause some sort of magical apocalypse. Gamal, centuries ago, was a keeper. However, after discovering the glyph of transmutation, began to use it to siphon life out of other beings and keep herself alive. So she's pretty much now this centuries-old witch, not unlike Granny Rags in Dishonored, right?
Okay,
another little loop in there. It's the the folkloric witch who's been alive for centuries using dark magic to prolong her life.
Baba Yaga. We've talked about how prevalent that trope is, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like Wul Dawn.
She would eventually use glyphs to break into an orphanage, kill an orphan girl, and then possess her body.
Okay, she used the Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse eyes to break into the wall of an orphanage.
it was I didn't want to bring it up, but it was so funny that you were just like, well, this orphanage wasn't on Facebook, and I was like, well, about that later. she did go into the one orphanage within the city that did not have a Facebook page so that she could kill one of the orphans and steal her body. So the final glyph, what it did was either erase or cut off every single existing glyph from its connection to the outer god that it was connected to, whoever it created it that was channeling, that was giving them magical powers, and it eliminated magic from the world. And this was the only way to prevent Gamal's coming dark age.
Okay.
As a result, the keepers lost all of their abilities because all of their magic was glyph based, but they knew it's just like, hey, there's one plug and we got to fucking pull it if things start to go wrong. And so their compound that they lived within, the Keeper compound, was no longer invisible without magic. So people just immediately discovered it. It just materialized in one district of the city. And of course,
hey,
they had
there's suddenly a building in that place with the invisible walls we kept walking into.
Like, people just like walking in place, like, morning, Sam. Just like brushing up against this invisible, just like an abounding box, basically.
Like a GTA character stuck on a fire hydrant.
Wonder if it had some type of mental effect, so they think they're walking forward, but they just do a little U-turn and keep walking, like, pass by the same guy they were just talking to.
They're glamored.
Yeah, Loreboy's canon, the Keeper compound was not invisible, but had a spell on the exterior that would always remind someone that they forgot something at home, so they would turn around right before seeing it.
Would turn on their oven. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Turn on their oven so they'd have to go back and turn it off. So without power, without an invisible compound, the Keepers basically completely dissolved and just disappeared into the population. They were like, our work here is done. We had the power of foresight and have now disconnected the world from magic. This would be everyone except Garrett, who would kind of, there was some prophecy, like, again, he's not quite so much the chosen one, but he was eventually known as who would become the one true keeper, and he became the final keeper after activating the final rune. Okay. So he's the last one left.
The final keeper, one who turned foresight into threesight.
What?
You can't see foresight anymore.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
It all goes back to the eyes, too. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. One good eye can't see four sights.
Yeah. That's a great quote.
That on a piece of corn. Just the fucking t-shirt.
Make that your next secret cult's mission statement, huh?
So one night after the activation of the final glyph, he caught a young girl trying to pickpocket him. Impressed by the fact that he was not only the last keeper, but also a master thief. He told her that she had some skill, and he took her under his wing, or it's implied that he took her under his wing as a protege to train the next master thief. This ending of Deadly Shadows, the third game, seems to have inspired the creation of Erin, who is the reboot Garrett's sidekick. However, in the reboot, she's just like a whiny goth bitch who spends her entire time murdering people, fighting with Garrett, and disobeying orders. But this doesn't really matter, since Reboot Garrett is also a whiny goth bitch who spends most of the game murdering people, disobeying orders, and criticizing everybody he works with. Like, in the 5 minutes that she's on screen, they're exactly the same. They're just awful, basically. Okay. And not to end on that negative note, but that's Thief.
All right.
Wow. This one really stole my attention. Really
stole
captured
the show.
My heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one really snuck into my house and stole my attention away, so that I thought about a Dishonored the whole time, actually.
This one really snuck into my house, shot my dog, tied me up, and left me for dead. Great episode.
That's Reboot Garrett. Anyway, I have your host, Peter O'Donohue. If you'd like to break into my house and kill my dog, you can find me at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Or over on the Discord. It's just linked, but I don't have a dog. It's linked below.
I've been Ethan Palmer, Reboot Ethan Palmer, excuse me. If you want to, join the show and help me break into Peter's house, just click on the links down below. And we'll be doing that probably as a patron event. We're thinking about maybe including all the Discord normies.
But yeah, Jamie, is there anything you wanted to plug?
Get yourself in the Discord, everyone. That's where all the fun stuff's happening. Check the link below. We're chatting with folks all the time. You'll get to see fun things that we talk about, like why does Kant organism and a picture of bagel bites, and maybe you'll get some context around that too, especially if you're a patron. But
should we post this Yahoo answer picture with the bonus audio? I feel like at this point we probably should.
You should. Yeah,
if you want to become a patron, and support the show, patreon.com/loreboys to learn what the fuck we're talking about, honestly. Of course, there's other ways to help the show. If you guys don't have the scratch, don't spend it if you don't got it. But you can just leave us a review, tell your friends, spread the good word of the keepers of lore that we are.
The builders love. That's it.
Mm-hmm. The builders love. Join the lore boys Patreon.
The lore type ones Patreon. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And of course, if you don't trust Patreon, we got Lore Boys Prime or Lore Type 1 Body Type Prime.
Yep.
Where you guys can support the show. We are, starting a cult, of course. We have been for 5 years, I feel like, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen overnight.
We've been working. It really, they didn't build a cult in a day. Come on. Yeah. Come on. We need some sneaky folks this time around to wear masks and do some chores for us around the house. It's gonna be pretty epic, gamers.
Crouch walk everywhere.
Yeah, we're gonna be stealing magic artifacts. We're gonna be overthrowing robot armies. All we need you to do is to crouch around and take out the garbage for us, because it's starting to stink a little.
Next time we visit Ethan, there's just gonna be five body type ones in gimp suits crouching, walking around his house, crouch
walking, raking the leaves, rooting up weeds, and
honestly, landscaping gimps is a great kind of like goofy idea for a business. Patent pending.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a couple things. We're gonna do our cooking dinner in a show, Trickster, that's coming up. We got our landscaping gimps, they'll come to your place. They'll fix it up and they'll break a sweat underneath all that leather, I'm sure.
Oh, brutal. Yeah. And I think that would constitute a
Lore Boys.
Is it so Dr. Poop or whatever, the guy with the hat that plays Mario Maker?
Carl Sagan 42.
Oh, I like Carl Sagan too. Okay.
There's Grand Pooh Bear. Here's a sponsor.
Dr. Poo. Close.
Yeah. Okay. I remembered it was something with Poo in the name, and I was like, if I was going to choose a name, I would never put Poo in it. But
Dr. Poop respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.